So we're reading from Ephesians 4, 1 to 16.
1:1-7:5.
As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascend to mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves of blowing here and there, by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheme. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Good evening, welcome. I'm going to pray first as we begin to call to it together. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about City Church, we rejoice that it's made up of many people who are different. But with difference comes the question of unity. And so, Father, would you use your words to help us understand how City Church can be united in diversity? And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got eyes to see and you really look around, you can see that our culture really wants to have unity in diversity. They want unity among people who are of different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different religions. So if you've got a TV license to watch BBC One, BBC One have replaced their circular themed idents. So idents, I've never come across that word, are those identification things just before a programme comes on to say you're watching BBC One. And if you remember, for about 10 years it's all been revolving around a circle, like CGI hippos swimming around. People nod if that's any... There we go, so some people do watch BBC One. They replaced it with a series of idents called oneness. Oneness. I had a look on the web, and so what the BBC said they wanted to do. They wanted to feature different groups of people coming together across the UK, united by their shared passions and interests. So a group of oneness idents where a group of swimmers of different ages are going into the sea. There's another group of oneness idents of exercise class, and you'll probably now see them everywhere now that I mention them. And it's worth saying that our culture's desire for unity in diversity is a good thing. We want to praise that and say, yes, that is a good thing. And it's a good thing because the Bible also says it's a good thing. But you don't need me to tell you that unity and diversity is hard to come about, because human beings have this tremendous knack, rather than uniting together with people who are different, they divide instead, and they divide with suspicion and hostility. You only have to look at the news to see that human heart seems to want to divide with people who are not the same as themselves. And so finding a solution for this unity in diversity problem is something that our country needs. It's something that Birmingham needs. City of Birmingham, research suggests, will become the second city in 2024 where there's no ethnic majority. The first city being Leicester, 2020 and the University of Manchester in 2024, as Birmingham will be have no ethnic majority. So Birmingham needs an answer to this idea of unity and diversity. City Church Birmingham also needs an answer to that unity and diversity. So a brief scan of the membership that I did a week or two ago seemed to suggest that from the members that we have, at least 15 different countries or nationalities are represented from at least 6 of the world's 7 continents. And with the 7th continent being Antarctica, I think we're going to stick at 6. And so City Church needs to know an answer to the idea of unity in diversity. Because how can a diverse group at City remain united when we realise that the human heart wants to divide from people who are different from themselves? And perhaps you're here and you're someone out here who wouldn't call yourself a Christian, and it's really great to have you here tonight. Can I ask you, what do you make of the diversity that is sitting in this room right now? Maybe not look around now, maybe look around over tea and coffee. I don't think there would be anywhere else, or many other places, let's say, in Birmingham tonight, where there is the gathering is diverse as this one in terms of age, ethnicity, sex, nationality, all those different things. And perhaps that raises a question in your mind, thinking, how is it possible when I see the world around me disuniting because people are different, I see something, maybe a glimpse of unity and diversity here in this room tonight, where different people from different backgrounds seem to be uniting. Well, how is that possible? And the answer to that quest of unity in diversity is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what this passage is addressing. So please do open the Bible to page 1175. And the first thing to say is make every effort to keep united. That's verses 1 to 6. I had a PowerPoint fail. I did the PowerPoint, but I left it at home. So you might have to write down the title yourself. So make every effort to keep united, verses 1 to 6. If you haven't been with us for a few weeks, then the big idea of Ephesians is that God has got one thing on his to-do list, and that is to unite everything under heaven and earth under the Lord Jesus Christ. That is just one big thing on his to-do list. That's all we've got. And structurally, the book of Ephesians falls into two halves. In chapters 1 to 3, Paul has described how the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has brought unity to two groups of diverse people who back then, in the first century, were hostile to each other, Jews and Gentiles. And with this in mind, Paul then begins to write verses 4 to 6, telling his readers how diverse groups of Christians in the same church, in the same gathering of God's people, can live out that unity, can be united together. And so the first thing we notice in chapter 4, verse 1, is that Paul connects those two halves of Ephesians, chapters 1 to 3 and 4 to 6. Have a look at verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, or therefore, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And so Paul urges his readers to look back at what he's just said in chapters 1 to 3. And in chapters 1 to 3, he has explained that Gentile Christians who were once very far away from God, once very far away from being accepted by God, have been brought near because of the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And he's saying in chapters 1 to 3, no matter who you are, no matter what ethnicity you are, no matter where you come from, you can be adopted into God's family if you trust Jesus. That's what he's saying in chapters 1 to 3. He's saying you've got a new identity. You've got now a royal identity. You are part of God's royal heavenly family. And that new identity needs to work itself out in new ways of living. In other words, to live a life worthy of that new identity. So Paul describes what it looks like for people who are part of God's royal family, which is, if we're Christians here, that's us. what it looks like to live a life worthy of that identity. Have a look at verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So to live a life worthy of being part of God's family is that the Ephesians were to make every effort to remain united, not to create unity. Jesus has already won that unity for them, but to work hard at maintaining that unity, keeping that unity. And so the church back in the day in Ephesus was made up of Jew and Gentile Christians, and at that time, Jews and Gentiles hated one another. So if you think of how today a Palestinian person might think of a Jewish person, and a Jewish person might think of a Palestinian person, you might get a sense of the hostility that Jews and Gentiles had back then. That was what it was like. They hated each other, they distrusted each other, they were hostile to each other. And yet in Ephesus was a church where there was Christians who were Jew and Gentiles. So here at City, we don't experience that sort of Jew or Gentile split. That's not our issue. However, the human heart hasn't changed over 2,000 years of history. We're still great at clustering into groups of people who are like us and then looking with suspicion at those groups of Christians who may be different from us. You know, for us, we won't be cutting the humanity cake along the lines of Jew and Gentile. We might be cutting the humanity cake in different ways. So, for example, in City, it could be split between students or non-students, or single or married, or UK nationals or internationals, or young people versus old people, or middle-class people versus working class. They're just some of the ideas that where we could cut that humanity cake and look at a hostility, maybe suspicion, of Christians who are different from us. And we need to be aware of that danger. But we need to remember that in chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians, Paul has told his readers that the death of Jesus on the cross has broken down the biggest hostility that there ever was between two groups of people, Jew and Gentile. And he has united Jew and Gentile Christians into one new humanity. And the implication is that if Jesus can unite the biggest hostility between Jew and Gentile, then he can unite any other way we want to cut the humanity cake, any way we want to divide it, any way we want to say, you're not like us. Actually, he can unite any two groups, three groups, four groups. So what would it look like to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit? Well, the answer is fleshed out in verse 2. The Ephesians were to be humble with each other. They were to be gentle with each other and patient with each other. When the Gentile Christians in Ephesus did something thoughtless, like bringing pork pie to church lunch, then instead of angrily kicking off, the Jewish Christians would bear with them in love because they would remember that they are united. And so whatever church you go to, you'll always meet other groups of Christians who are different to you. And because of that difference, there might be a danger of them rubbing them up the wrong way and them rubbing up you up the wrong way. And the same is true for City Church. And Paul says that we should make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit with those Christians who are different to us. And because of their difference, we might find it difficult to relate to them. And that means we should be humble and gentle and patient with them. We should bear with them in love. And the reality is that it's going to be hard work. Make every effort. That means you've got to put your back into it. It's going to be hard to remain united with people who are different from us. So, for example, if you're single and some of your close friends get married and then, as sometimes happens, they disappear off the social scene because they might be socialising with other couples, God says, you know, don't kick off. Make every effort to bear with them in love. It's going to be hard. Make every effort. But they are... You're united with them. Work hard at keeping that unity. Or maybe you're an international and it seems that British Christians can't be bothered talking to you. And if that's the case, if that's how it feels, how it is, well, God says, make every effort to be patient with them. Pray for them. I know it's scary. You might go up to them and talk to them. and bear with them in love, because you are united together. And remaining united with people who are different from you, it's really hard, isn't it? It's really hard. It takes a lot of effort, and in those times when it takes effort, we need to have a strong motivation of why we should do it. And I think the motivation is found in verses 4 and 5. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Did you notice the word that Paul repeats 7 times? It's the word, one. It's almost as if Paul's trying to tell us something, isn't it? He's saying that Christians are one. They are united. They are one body, which means they're Christ's body, which is another way of saying it's the church. There is one Holy Spirit who joins Christians together in unity. There's one hope, in other words, the hope of being with God the Father in heaven. There's one Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. There is one faith, only one gospel message is going to save us. And if you're a Christian, no matter how different you are, you believe that same one gospel message. There's one baptism, in other words, just one way of coming into relationship with Jesus and his Heavenly Father. And there is only one God and Father. And the Jewish and Gentile Christians were to make every effort to keep the unity of spirit, because there was one church, one God, one Saviour. They were united. They just had to be reminded of it. So I don't know which groups of Christians you find it hard to remain united here at City. But I do know that for each of us, there will be people who are different to you and have the possibility of rubbing you up the wrong way and winding you up. And when you're tempted to get angry with them, what's going to keep you making every effort to remain united with them? Well, we need to remind ourselves that even though that group of Christians are different to us, that we are one. We're all part of the same body. What God has joined together, we're not meant to be separating as human beings. So if a group of Christians look at a group and disunite with that group in a local church, it's a bit like my hand looking at my leg and thinking, well, my leg doesn't look particularly hand-like, and getting a hacksaw and cutting it off. And that's silly, because it's part of one body. The leg doesn't need to have to be exactly like the hand. The body is great because it's diverse and it's united. And if I hurt my leg, if I cut off my leg, ultimately my hand suffers as well. We are one body. We need to make every effort to remain united. So second, build yourselves up, verses 7 to 16. So verses 1 to 6 have given us the what. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. And the why. Because there is oneness in the church. We are one body. Verses 7 to 16 give us the how. The Ephesian church was diverse. How was that diverse group of people going to keep the unity of the Spirit? And as we listen in, we gain an understanding of how we, as a diverse community of God's people here in City Church, will be able to remain united. And so the answer to the how is that Jesus has given gifts to people that when they exercise them in the service of God and the service of God's people and local church, that will enable us to remain united together. So we've talked about how the death of Jesus has united the church. However, verse 7 begins with a but. Do you see that, verse 7? In other words, although the church is united and is one, there is also diversity in the church. We're not meant to be all the same. We're not meant to be clones. So verse 7, but to each one of us, grace, in other words, gifts, have been given as Christ apportioned it. So the diversity that is mentioned and Paul focuses on is a diversity of gifting, grace or gifting, if you like to call it. And Jesus has given every Christian a gift or a set of gifts and decided how good they will be at using those particular gifts. And so to some he's given the gift of teaching children about Jesus. To others he's given the gift of singing really well and playing music, and it's great to have the band. Some give gifts like rowing to do the PA. And so this is given the gifts of encouraging other Christians when they're down. And then simply put, verses 8 to 10 explain that after Jesus' death and resurrection, he gave out gifts as he ascended to heaven. So if you're a Christian here this evening, do you realise that Jesus has actively thought about you and decided to give you at least one gift so that you can serve others, so that the church here at City can grow and be built up in unity and maturity? Isn't Jesus just amazingly generous to give those gifts to us? And just to think, I'm going to give different gifts to Jonathan, as a gift to Dan, or to Stacey, or to Rowan. But not only that, we decided how good we are going to be with the gifts that he's given us. Now, you may not realise yet what gift or gifts Jesus has given you, but please don't conclude that just because you don't know your gifts that you haven't been given any. So there are many different kind of gifts that Jesus gives out, but in verse 11, Paul narrows the focus onto a certain set of gifts in verse 11. So Christ gave the church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. And so those four or five, depending how you look at it, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers all have a common thread to those gifts. They are all word ministry gifts. In other words, they involve speaking God's word to the people. So the first two word ministry gifts that Paul mentions are the gifts of apostles and prophets. And the apostles were the eyewitnesses of Jesus and his resurrection, and they proclaimed what they had seen. And the prophets is a reference to a bunch of people around the same time as the New Testament apostles who were alive and who proclaimed the gospel and its implications. But the apostles and the New Testament prophets were gifts that were given for a particular time. And then they ceased. But the other word ministry gifts are the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. And the evangelists are good at telling others about Jesus and training up people to do the same. And the pastor teachers are those who look after Christians by teaching them from the foundational words of the apostles, in other words, the New Testament, as well as the Old Testament. And the reason Jesus gave these specific set of word ministry gifts is found in verse 12, to equip his people for works of service. So evangelists and pastor teachers are like the manager and assistant manager and the goalkeeping coach and the other coaches of Aston Villa who equip the team to go out and win games of football, or that's the idea. And so actually what's happening in this service, what's happening now, is almost like a training session at Aston Villa's training ground. As the word is being explained, you are being, all of us as Christians are being equipped to equip these people for works of service. So in many ways, this challenges many of our conceptions, or maybe misconceptions, about what church is like and what church is for. This idea of being every Christian being equipped to serve, to do works of service. So sometimes we may think of church as like getting on a bus. So when we join a church, we go onto the bus and we sit down as a passenger, and the bus driver drives the bus. We may talk to the people on the bus, we might not, but we quite enjoy the ride and we don't do very much. We're quite passive until the stop comes along and we get off the bus. But verses 9 to 13, God is saying that we shouldn't think of church as a bus, but as an orchestra. And so when you join an orchestra, you pick up an instrument, which is probably different from the instruments the other people have in the orchestra. And by following the sheet music and by watching the conductor, you make beautiful music together. And that is what the vision of church is like in verses 9 to 13. So what is your view of church at the moment? Are you seeing church as a bus, where you're just sitting and passively allowing the bus to take you? Or are you seeing church as an orchestra, where you are being encouraged and equipped so that you can do works of service? So the church is to be engaged in works of service, and here's the reason, verse 12. So that the body of Christ, the church, us, may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that phrase is strange, isn't it? The fullness of Christ, but what does that even mean? And the fullness of Christ is defined by the words we've just read. The fullness of Christ is maturity and unity. Do you see that? Those twin goals of Christians building each other up into maturity and unity. That's what the fullness of Christ means. Maturity and unity. Because God is united. There's one God, but there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are united together. And so if we're going to be maturing to become more like the church that God wants us, we're going to be mature and we're going to be united. And this is a good thing, because a united and a mature church will avoid the danger, verse 14, of being unstable. And Paul knows his readers live in a world where people who call themselves Christians will teach false things about the Christian faith. And that is still the world we live in. People who call themselves Christians and set themselves up as Christian teachers will teach people wrong things about the Christian faith. And an immature church will be an unstable church as the winds of false teaching blow about. So I don't know whether you've ever seen one of those old sailing ships. It's that image, an old sailing ship caught in a storm at sea, and it pitches and it rolls and it threatens to capsize because the wind around it just blows to and fro. Isn't that a scary image? If your church is like that ship, just being blown to and fro, that's a scary church to be in. So in contrast, that unstable and immature church, Paul wants the church he is writing to become a mature body of Jesus. And this will involve Christians speaking the truth in love to each other. And the phrase "speaking the truth in love" covers both the content of what we're to say and also the word. So all of us need to be speaking the truth in love to one another. And so when it talks about the truth, it's not saying about, we're saying true things to each other, but it might not be from the Bible. Say, someone might come up to me and say, blue's not really your colour. I mean, that might be true, but that's what it's talking about here. The truth is God's truth, found in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And Christians are to speak Bible truth to each other. And that's why, as the evangelists and pastor teachers teach the Bible, that equips you, all of us, to speak truth to one another, so that when we do that, we grow up to become united and mature. And the manner in which we are to speak the truth is in love. We are to speak the gospel message to each other in a loving and a caring manner, rather than being harsh. So as we speak the truth, the Bible truth, in love, we will grow up to be the mature and united body of Jesus. Verse 16 tells us that Jesus is the head of the body, and from the body grows and builds itself up in love as each part, each person, each group does its work. So if you look back at verses 7 to 16, you'll notice there are no commands for us to follow. Paul isn't writing these verses to make us physically do something. Paul wants our minds to be reshaped about how we think about the local church, how we think about the body of Jesus, which we are a local expression of the body of Jesus. And church is a place where Christians are to grow together in unity and maturity. And this growth happens when people God has given gifts to, word ministry gifts to, teach the Bible and equip everyone to use their gifts. So in works of service. And as Christians speak the truth to each other and use their gifts to serve the body, then it builds itself up into unity and maturity. So if that's God's plan of what church should look like, my question to us tonight, and it isn't us and rather than a you singular, is have we found our place in that plan? Have we found our place in that plan? So for a number of you, finding your place in that plan will mean understanding the importance of Bible teaching and preaching in the life of a church. I know for many of you who've joined City perhaps in the last year or so, you might, looking back, you might never have imagined yourself ending up at a church like City. Your background might have been going to a church which got more expressive or exuberant in worship, and maybe with a shorter sermon. But I want to say thank you for sticking with City, even though it's different to what you're used to. But there's a reason we give more time to the Bible in the service, for reading the Bible and explaining it. There's a reason that the centre of all our small groups, whether that is home groups or mum's group or student plus, there's a reason we place reading the Bible and praying it through. It's because as we hear and understand God's word, we are equipped, all of us, to serve God through the gifts he's given us. And as we serve, we grow in unity and maturity together. And if we grasp this, then for some of you, this might mean sticking with City, even though there are some aspects of church which you've hoped for. Maybe it's different from your church back at home. But if we understand God's plan and how a local church is built up in unity and maturity, then maybe that's a sacrifice we're willing to make. For others of us, it might mean joining a small group so that you're regularly reading and applying God's words. For others, it may mean returning to that small group that you're on paper you're part of, but in reality you're not quite part of it. Because as we gather together in small groups, what are we doing? We're sharing the truth in love, and we're building each other up. The second way of finding your place in God's plan for the church is to begin using the gifts that God has given you to build up the body as each part does its work. And I know many people get stuck because they don't know what their gifts are, and that is a common problem. So that's you, don't worry. But if we start from conviction based on verse 7 that Jesus has given every Christian at least one gift, then the desire will be to try and find out what that gift is or what those gifts are and try to use it so the body is built up in unity and maturity. So here's some suggestions. If you don't know what your gifts are, have a go at a lot of things and see what you're good at. See what you find enjoyable, see what energizes you, see what an older Christian who might be able to give you feedback says you're good at, because sometimes other people have more of a perspective on what your gifts are than you do. And if you want to start at serving, if you're someone who isn't serving but as God has been speaking to you through his word, maybe you want to start serving, how can I have a chat to someone on staff who've been at the front, or maybe fill out a contact form, maybe write on there just saying, I'd like to start serving, and then pop it into the beige box, and then we'll try and help you to start serving in a way in which you can be building up the body of Christ. I think the other thing to remember, and this is hard for people who are on the outside looking, i.e. not on staff, and maybe not in teams already, is that here's what you might not believe, that City Church actually does need you. We do need every one of you. So I know looking in, it looks as though we've got all the bases covered. It looks like we've got all the music covered, all the PA covered. However, because I'm on staff, I see behind the scenes, and I know that's not true. We need you. Even if all the bases are covered, we still need you, because it's as each part does its work. Do you see that at the end of verse 16? As each part does its work. So if there are people who feel that they're not needed or are not involved, then we as a body of Christians here at City suffer. We will not become as mature or united because not each part isn't doing all its work, all the work. And so if you want to start using your gift but you don't know where to start, then come and chat. Do realise that we do need you. And do realise that in God's providence, he has placed you here at this particular time with the particular gift he's given you, because we at City Church, as body, need you. So as we close, we began this sermon asking the question, how can diverse people here at City remain united? And first we need to realise that Jesus' death has already united all Christians together, and so rather than trying to manufacture unity, we need to realise we're already united. Therefore, we need to make every effort to keep united. And second, we remain united in diversity by using our gifts to build each other up, to build the body up, so that City Church can become more mature and more united. I'll pray for us as we close this part of the service. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that through the precious death of your Son Jesus, you've broken down all walls of hostility that exist between Christians and have united everyone who calls himself a Christian here in this building together. And when we look around the city, help us to be reminded that we are one body. We ask that how we think about other Christians would motivate us to make every effort to remain united. And Father, that's hard work. Please would you help us with that. And we also thank you that the Lord Jesus has given each one of us a gift or a set of gifts that he wants us to be serving at City. Please give all of us a desire to serve this local body of Jesus with the gift we've been given so that we can grow together to be mature and united. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.